Blog Talk Radio.
To 15 minutes, and you know, it was just easier just to start over at the half hour. They have the time limits in there in increments of, you know, 30 minutes. So the next time that we could start a broadcast was half past the hour. Nevertheless, let's go ahead and start this Shabbat. As I was saying, we greet you all in the master's name of Yeshua HaMashiach, our Master and our Savior, our Elohim and our Redeemer, the lover of our soul and the rock of our faith. I'm so happy that it is the Sabbath, and this is another Sabbath that I get to take part in. to worship the Most High and to study in His Word and to be amongst His people. Okay, we're going to go ahead and we're going to start with the blowing of the shofar. I'm not going to be as long-winded as I was before so that we can get into this. I don't want to keep anybody longer tonight.
my family, my relationships, whatever it is, my Facebook time, my Instagram time. What I lack, you are full of. And where I'm broken, you are whole. And what I'm doubting, you are sure of. For I'll trust the lover, lover of my soul. Let me hear y'all sing that one time. What I lack, say.
What I lack, you are.
Amen. Be sure to make room for Elohim in your life. A lot of times, you know, life can be all consuming with problems and just the everyday survival. But we have things that we choose to have in our life and that we choose to give priority. We need to make sure that we are making the Most High the number one priority in our lives. So, you know, we have to make a conscious decision to make room for Him in whatever we do. So I love this song for its simplicity and the message that it sends, that, you know, we have to make room for the Most High Elohim in our life and give Him His way. It is just a necessity that we do it. in this next selection that we're going to play on this evening before we start the service, we do want to make ourselves a house of prayer. Prayer, the sincere prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And we are supposed to be appealing to our Heavenly Father to provide for our every need. And so we never want our prayer life to go lacking. We never want our prayer life to not be able to send up hot prayers before the Most High and believe that He's going to answer them.
Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
Lord, make me a house, make me a house of prayer. Lord,
the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer.
I want to seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord.
Lord, make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out, fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out,
make me a house of prayer.
I want to seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord.
Make me a house, make me a house of prayer, a house of prayer.
May the fire on my altar never burn out, the fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out, make me a house of prayer. Fire for my altar never burn out. The fire for my altar never burn out. May the fire for my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. We pray, Lord, make me a house. Make me a house of prayer. I wanna seek your face, seek your face, oh Lord. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. May the fire on my altar never burn out. The fire on my altar never burn out. May the fire on my altar never burn out. Make me a house of prayer. We say, Lord, make me a house. Make me a house.
Seek your face, seek your face. house of prayer.
Make me a house of prayer.
Day and night.
Have the ladies cover their head, men's uncover your head. We want to welcome everybody to Yah's Global Kingdom Ministry Sabbath lesson for the 8th of October 2021. We pray that you are blessed. We pray that you are ready to eat from the word of the Most High. Let us all turn toward the east as we do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine, and for reproof, and for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I am a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on this day, for truly he is worthy of all our praise and all our worship and all the honor. Hallelujah, Yah, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We just glorify you and we lift you up and we magnify your name. We adore thee, O Yah. We adore thee. Hallelujah. We extol you and we lift you up, Father, and we worship you from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. For you are our Elohim and you are worthy of our praise and our adoration. It is only you to you that we will bow down and worship, Father. We will not worship any other Elohim. We will not go astray, Father. So we will keep our eyes steadfast on you and give you all the glory, the honor, and the praise. For you are worthy, you are worthy, you are worthy. All glory belongs to you, O Yah. All glory belongs to you. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We adore thee. Hallelujah. This is your day, and we honor you in it. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread and to observe your Shabbat, a day of rest that you have ordained that your people should keep perpetually throughout all times. Father, we ask that you would forgive us our sins as we forgive those who have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquities of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, in spirit and in truth. Father, you have said that your people Israel have done wickedly, and that we have walked contrary to you, and that you have walked contrary to us. You said, but if we would but turn from our wicked ways and repent from our sins and not complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world, that you would once again turn your eyes and your ears toward your people Israel, and that you would hear our supplications and our prayers. So, Father, we acknowledge that we have walked contrary to you and that you have walked contrary to us. And, Father, we are repenting of our sins and turning from our wicked ways. And we won't complain about the punishment that you have placed upon us by scattering us throughout all the nations of the world. But our testimony will be, this is what happens to you when you disobey the Most High Elohim. Father, we pray for Israel that is asleep, that you might wake them and give them an unction to come and keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments. We pray for Israel that is awake, that you might give us a meek and a humble spirit, the spirit of love, for you are love. Father, we pray for the seed of Abraham, all that you should call in Christ, that they would come and obey your voice and keep your commandments. Now, Father, as we go to work in the kingdom, we ask that you will smile upon this work and that you will give us favor in all that you do and that you would deliver us from this captivity that you have scattered us into. Gather us, Yah. Gather us, your people. Bring us back under your wing. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8 verses 46 through 53. 1 Kings chapter 8 verses 46 through 53. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captives unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whither they were carried captives, and repent and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned and have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart and with all their soul in the land of their enemies which led them away captive, and pray unto thee toward their land which thou gavest unto their fathers, that the city which thou hast chosen and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, saying that they may have compassion on them, for they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplication of thy servant and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth, to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt, O Yah, Elohim. The book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 12, verses 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. The book of Exodus, chapter 19, verses 5 and 6. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. The book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, verses 26 through 28. Deuteronomy chapter 11 verses 26 through 28. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse, a blessing if you obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of Yah your Elohim, but turn aside out of the way, which I command you this day, to go after other Elohims, which you have not known. May the Most High add a blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and more so, the doing of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right, so we want to welcome everyone. We are still in the Elohim of the Blood Covenant, and we are continuing our review of Torah so that we can bring forward those things and have an understanding of those things that apply in the New Testament versus the contract that we're under in the New Testament versus the Old. We are about halfway through with the laws, the statutes and commandments of the Most High. We are in the book of Numbers, chapter 4, on this evening. And we will be covering Numbers chapter 4 and 5, maybe 6, if time permits, on this evening. But we want to, as the Most High said, we want to worship him with a zeal, you know, an excitement. We want to have a form of righteousness about us that we know what the word says and we know what's required of us and that we do it. You know, the Most High says he don't want us to just be hearers of his word, but he wants us to be doers of it. And so we got to understand, we got to know what we're supposed to be doing. If we don't know what we're supposed to be doing, then how can we do it? And so we want to continue in this path until we finish. We've been making great progress and learning some other things, you know, concerning the way that the Most High, his thought process, how he thinks, what his expectations are, and, you know, how we have to come in line with his expectations and not put ours on his because he is Elohim. So the book of Numbers, chapter 4, is where we're at, starting in verse 1. And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, take the sum of the sons of Kohath. Now, before we get into this, I want us to understand that everything about the temple and ministry, even today, is covered in these next chapters that we're about to read. And so even the choir is part of the ministry. You know, we got people who sing in the choir, and they're there faithfully. For most part, the church doesn't want to pay them. They don't even consider them part of the ministry. You know, they're part of the praise, and people, you know, to have people to do it for free. But that's not what the Most High, that's not was ever his intent. So everybody who's part of ministry, who's part of the tabernacle, who takes part in the service of the Most High, he wants them to be paid for their service. Not just the pastor, not just the deacons, but the altar workers, the people who keep the doors, the ushers, the choir. It's all part of the ministry and was all supposed to be taken care of and paid out of this. So I want us to pay attention to this when we're reading these things, okay? And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, take the sum of the sons of Kohath from among the sons of Levi after their families by the house of their fathers, for 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, all that enter into the host, to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. So right here we see that to be in the service of the tabernacle, you're supposed to be between the ages of 20 and 50. Okay, after that you retire. You work for 30 years and you retire. At the, you know, this age, in this time, 50 and retiring would be a young age, especially when the retirement age in society in the U.S. is like 65 or 70. But the Most High says you're supposed to work from 30 to 50. This shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation, about the most holy things. Now, one of the things that we discussed in previous, and we found out that the Most High said that the strangers that come close to the tabernacle have to die. But we understood and we learned that those strangers were not just Gentiles. The strangers were actually the other 11 tribes of Israel. That if they came close to the tabernacle, they were considered to be a stranger. And they would die. They were supposed to be killed if they came close to it. And even within the Levitical priesthood, the sons of Aaron are the only ones who are supposed to see the Holy of Holies and to pack it up and unpack it. They don't carry it, but they pack it up and they unpack it. And they're the only ones that are supposed to deal with it. And any of the other families, even within the Levitical priesthood, if they came close to the Holy of Holies, they were supposed to be put to death. They were strangers to it. So if this is pertaining to the tribes of Israel being strangers, then we know that one of another nation would be the same law for them. But the strangers in this case did not pertain to, wasn't talking about the Gentile nations, those of another nation. It was actually describing and specific to the other 11 tribes. They were not to come close to the tabernacle. Okay? So it's just like, as another example, when Nadab and Abihu burned incense at the wrong time. The Most High said, this is strange to me. That's strange fire. Not that it was some special or different type of fire. It was just done at the wrong time. And he says, it's out of order. It's strange to me. I didn't tell you to do that at that time, so why are you doing it? Cost them their lives. Okay? So we got to understand that everybody's assigned a specific job. And you can't overstep your boundaries within that job. Okay, so let's continue to read. So I wanted to make sure I made that clear because this is what we learned last week. Okay, that those strangers wasn't talking about Gentiles or one of another nation, somebody that wasn't a member of Israel. This was actually talking about the other 11 tribes. They were not to come close to the tabernacle. And if they did, they were to be put to death. Okay, so there should be a service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. And when the camp sets forth, now last week we read about the order of the tribes, that the Most High set the tribes, okay, who was on the east, who was on the west, who was on the north, who was on the south, whenever they moved, what order they took off in, where the tabernacle was. This is going to be the same order that, you know, when he reestablishes that the tribes will that's where their dwellings will be. The Most High has an order, and it doesn't change. I also learned that even though the 12 tribes have their place around the temple and the tabernacle, and we'll have it the same place around the temple and the tabernacle in the future, the one thing that will be different is the Gentiles that want to come close, that want to join, they get to pick whatever tribe they want to be a member of. And that tribe has to give them their possession within their land that they get for their tribe. Okay, now let's continue. So, this shall be the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation about the most holy things. Verse 5, and when the camp sets forward, Aaron shall come and his sons, the family of Aaron. They shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it, and shall put thereon the covering of badger skins, and shall spread it over the cloth, holy, blue, and shall put in the staves thereof. And upon the table of the showbread, they shall spread a cloth of blue, and thereon the dishes and the spoons and the bowls and the covers to cover withal, and the continual bread shall be thereon. and they shall spread upon them a cloth of scarlet, and cover the same with a covering badger skin, and shall put it in the staffs thereof. And they shall take a cloth of blue, and cover the candlesticks of the light, and his lamps, and his tongs, and snuff dishes, and all the oil vessels thereof, wherewith they minister unto. And they shall put it, and all the vessels thereof, within a covering badger skin, and shall put it upon a bar. And upon the golden altar they shall spread a cloth blue, covering with a covering of badger skin, and shall put the staffs thereof. And they shall take all the instruments of ministry, wherewith they minister in the sanctuary, and put them in the cloth of blue, and cover them with a covering badger skin, and shall put them on a bar. And they shall take away the ashes from the altar, and spread a purple cloth thereon. And they shall put upon it all the vessels thereof, wherewith they minister about it, even the censers, the flesh hooks, and the shovels, and the basins, all the vessels of the altar. And they shall spread upon it a covering of badger skins, and put the staffs to it. And when Aaron and his sons have made an end of covering the sanctuary, and all the vessels of the sanctuary, as the camp is set forward, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to bear it. So Aaron and his sons are supposed to break this stuff down, everything according to the Holy of Holies, in the sanctuary, the innermost sanctuary, and cover it up and pack it, but then Kohath and his family come to carry it. And they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. So they are bearing it, but they can't look at it. They can't pack it up. The Most High is very peculiar about these things. So whatever your job is, that's what you do. And if you violate it, it's under penalty of death. So even the sons of Kohath with their Levites, their job is to bear the Holy of Holies, but they can't touch them directly. They can only touch the wooden staffs that are used to carry it. These things are the burden of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of the congregation. And to the office of Eleazar, son of Aaron, the priest pertaineth the oil of the light, and the sweet incense, and the daily meat offering, and the anointing oil, and the oversight of all the tabernacle, and of all that therein is in the sanctuary, and the vessels thereof. And Yah spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, cut you not off of the tribe of the families of the Kohites from among the Levites. But thus do unto them that they may live and not die when they approach unto the most holy things. Aaron and his sons shall go in and appoint them every one to his service and to his burden. But they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. So you're a Levite, you're of the family of Kohath. You are covering the things of the tabernacle, and this is your job. And if you come close to it and you are out of order, you go and you try to peek, you are to die. This is the structure of the Most High. But they shall not go in to see when the holy things are covered, lest they die. And Yah spake unto Moses, saying, take also the sum of the sons of Gershon throughout the house of their fathers by their families, from 30 years old and upward until 50 years old. Thou shalt number them. And all that enter into to perform the service do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. This is the service of the families of the Gershonites, to serve and for burdens. And they shall bear the curtains of the tabernacle and the tabernacle of the congregation, his covering and the covering of the badger skin that is above upon it, and the hanging for the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the hangings of the court, and the hangings of the door of the gate of the court, which is by the tabernacle and by the altar round about, and their cords, and all the instruments of their service, and all that is made for them, so that they, so shall they serve. At the appointment of Aaron and his sons shall be all the service of the sons of Gershonites, in all their burdens and in all their service, and you shall appoint unto them in charge of all their burdens. This is the service of the families of the sons of Gershon, in the tabernacle of the congregation, and their charge shall be under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. And the sons of Merari, thou shalt number them after their families by the house of their fathers. From 30 years old and upward, even 50 years old, shalt thou number them, every one that enters into the service to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. Now, I want to say something here. And when the Most High blesses us to have a facility that we worship in, the people must understand that it is most holy. And you don't just treat it like any other building as common. Because people look at a building, it's just a building to them. But you can, you know, the altar, all the things that are holy to the Most High, they are to be sanctified. And you're to treat them with dignity. And if it's not your job to be messing with it, you shouldn't be messing with it. You shouldn't be touching it. This is the level of respect that the Most High wants the people to have for the stuff. So those things that are most holy, only the high priest and his family could touch, could deal with. The mercy seat, the sons, the Ark of the Covenant, the sons of Kohath didn't get to look on that. They carried it, but they didn't get to look on it. If they did, it was under penalty. So I really want us to understand that the Elohim that we serve, he has strict standards. And if you nosy, you'd have been in trouble. If you that nosy type of person, and, oh, I just got to see what the Ark of the Covenant looks like. Number one, if you weren't part of the sons of Kohath, you shouldn't even be coming close to it to even take a peek. And even if you are a son of Kohath, you shouldn't be taking a peek. Because the Most High said it was punishable by death. That's a strict, strict regiment. And somehow, you know, people today just think, I don't know why we think the Most High is so weak when he says, that's why he said you need to fear me. Because if you transgress, it wasn't a slap on the wrist. Didn't say if they looked up on it, it was a slap on the wrist. You go counsel them. Put them in time out. Tell them to take off for a week. Think about it. It wasn't like that, and it isn't going to be like that. And people got this mentality and attitude about the Most High, like, well, the Elohim I serve is a loving God. He is loving as long as you're obedient. Because I love them that what? Love me. How do you show you love me? You keep my commandments. Because if you don't keep them, if you transgress in your job, you got a job in the ministry, you transgress, it wasn't a slap on the wrist. So where people are getting this mentality of the type of Elohim that they're serving, I don't know. I don't understand it. But when he says that you should tremble at his word, because if you messed up, it cost you your life. And somehow that's not the Elohim that people are serving today. That's not the Elohim that they're worshiping. It's like supposedly Between the Old and the New Testament, he changed, but he didn't. Because I'm giving you a chance to come back. I'm giving you a chance to set the record right so that you can set the relationship between us right. Because if you die in your sin, you're going to get my wrath. And you don't want to get my wrath. You don't want to see that side of me. But the world is teaching a completely different Elohim. Because he's willing to forgive sin, then people think they can walk all over him. When he's clear about how he forgives and what he will forgive. So I'm saying all this because as we're reading this, I want you to understand that the Elohim of the Old Testament did not change. And if you transgress, he's telling us, when it comes to him and it comes to dealing with him, you need to be very careful. You need to watch your step. And the Most High says, in times past, this ignorance he winked at. But you'll call all men unto repentance. You're going to repent for transgressing. And you're going to really repent for transgressing. So as we're reading this, we're looking at the priesthood. His priesthood. If they transgressed in their duty, if they came close to something they weren't supposed to come close to, understand it was a death sentence. So it's not something you took lightly. Not unless you're just in love life. You don't want to see another day. But what I want us to also understand that this is the Elohim of the Bible. So you should be fearing him. You should not be taking him lightly. And because death is not coming quickly to us because we're scattered and we're away, we think that he has gotten weak or something. Or he's just become more kinder. That's not the deal. He's going to change for us? No. He said, I'm giving you grace. I'm giving you a grace period. That's what grace is all about. I'm giving you a space. That if you say you belong to me, I'm giving you a space to get the relationship right. And you better not be taking your time getting it right. Because he says, everything you're doing and saying is being written down. And I'm going to judge you according to your works. According to your doing. And people acting like they got a free pass. But we better get serious. Especially if you're saying you want to be Israel. Because I guarantee you, most Hebrews and most people who become part of Israel, if they're not right, they won't last long. It won't last long. You got to be this. You have to be committed to this thing. Is what I'm telling you. And you have to be. You have to take it seriously. And you can't halfway do it. Halfway won't get it. Halfway will get you killed. And that's not the Elohim that we want to serve, most people. That's not the Elohim they know. So when people hear that he'll kill you, it's not something they want to hear. When he says, you come and you transgress against my stuff, it's not, I'm not slapping your hand. I'm literally taking your life. So it's not something, if you think, you know, I want us all to consider this and to understand it, okay, because nobody wants to die behind some foolishness. And I don't want to see the wrath of the Most High at any time. So understand what the Most High is saying here. You come close. The closer you come, the more I require. You want to be my priesthood? Then you're not going to transgress. Because if you do, it costs you your life. So a lot of people trying to come close, and they're coming close by their own standard, but not by the standards of the Most High. We want to take this thing seriously. Okay? So you can see that the priesthood, the sons of Aaron, they were authorized to touch and to deal with the most holy things of the Most High. No other Levite could. We got Hebrews saying that they're the priesthood and thinking that all the priesthood is authorized to do certain things, and they're not. If the Most High don't authorize you, you ain't supposed to be messing with it. So no understanding can't hear this. They read it but don't understand. Can't perceive it. And what will it get them? Dead is where it will get them. Okay, so I want us to understand that we're not worshiping and serving a chump. We're not worshiping and serving a weak Elohim. He's not weak by any means. And the fact that he has had mercy, we have to all be thankful for, because could you imagine if the Most High was exacting punishment right when you sinned? None of us would be here. So he's having mercy. But the closer you come to him, the less you can be plain. And you can't, you know, take your liberty. Well, yeah, I'm a son of Kohath. I carry the Ark of the Covenant, or I carry the altar. Let me peep in here and see how it looks. What are you saying? That they weren't supposed to even look upon it. Okay. So everybody got their jobs, and he's describing all these jobs. But the lesson that I want you to get out of this, because until the Most High returns and establishes the third kingdom, this is not part of the new covenant. Won't be in effect. But we have to have respect of his things. And so we can't ever treat any of it as common. If it ain't been given to you to do, don't be messing with it. All right, let's continue. Mentality, mentality, mentality. How are you supposed to be looking at the Most High? Oh, you know, he's just Elohim. He don't fuss or complain about anything. No. So, you know, the more we read this and the more we hear and understand, we have to understand that we really should be trembling at his word. We should be trembling that we might transgress. Because we think that, oh, we can transgress, and right now we say we're sorry, and we really are taking our own salvation in our hand and saying, you know what, he's got to forgive me. No, we need to be saying, I pray that he forgives me and I ain't going to mess up again. Because you don't know until you go before the judgment seat. I won't know until I go before the judgment seat. And nobody will know until they go before the judgment seat. So he's not, you know, we can't play him weak. Not in the old covenant, not in the new one. He didn't change. So I changed not. I changed some things about the covenant. I made it harder. I didn't make it weaker. I strengthened it because the weakness in it was you. The weakness in the old covenant wasn't the law, the statutes and commandments. It was us and our inability to keep it. Because I don't think that our forefathers ever really took it serious, as serious as they ought to. But there's no way that we ought to get this wrong except for we're blind, deaf, and dumb. But the truth of the matter is, there's no way we ought to get this wrong if we're the children of the Most High, because he says he's the one that has to give us the understanding. He's the one that has to allow us to see it. So I know why a lot of people don't, because he hasn't given it to them to see it. Messiah said it directly. To them it is not given to understand. And so a lot of us today, we're running around, we're reading the scriptures, and we have a understanding, but we don't have the understanding the Most High wants us to have. Why? That he might judge us. And see, this is what people can't understand either. The Most High look at your heart and say, oh, you're wicked, you're evil. I don't care how good you're trying to be, your motivation is not right before me. And then he judges. It's hard for a lot of people to accept. But you got to understand, if you can hear it, have respect of him. Everything about him. Have fear of him. Everything about him. Don't think you just got it made. Don't think you got a buddy. It's going to get you killed in the end. The permanent death in the lake. So he's showing this through his priesthood. To look on something that you're not supposed to look on. Death. Think about that. How serious do you think he is? And see, you can't lie to him and say, well, I didn't look. Okay, because I'm able to read your heart. I'm able to read your mind. I'm able to bring you back from the dead, resurrect you and your thoughts, your brain and everything that was in it, replay it for you. Then call the angels, the ones that are recording, and say, what'd they do? Okay, now I'm judging you according to your works. So, you know, for people, you know, I guess really where my brain and my heart is in this thing is that we understand that in the New Testament, the Most High didn't make it easier. It's not easier. If this requires death back here, and the Most High says, you know, anything that happened that required death had to be two or three witnesses to see it, to testify. And in the New Testament, he says, I'm just going to look at your heart. I don't need no three witnesses. I'm just going to look at your heart. It's not, that's not softer. that's harder, that's stricter. And so we got to understand that what he says he's going to do, he's going to do it. But see, we think, you know, it amazes me. It amazes me the picture of Elohim that people have invented to satisfy themselves. To satisfy themselves and to justify what they're doing, what they want to do. But just understand that Brother Miles didn't say this. The scriptures are teaching us that the Elohim we serve, he don't play. He just don't play. And because we think that, you know, judgment doesn't come right away, that maybe he had a change of mind, a change of heart, but he hasn't. So understand the repentance of under Messiah is our chance to come back to him and get the relationship right. But we need to understand the nature of the relationship. He said before, okay, my covenant, you broke. You broke it. You transgressed. And I regarded you not. I had no respect for you because you broke my covenant. Now here's a second chance. And you got people teaching ain't no law. You got people teaching that they're not up under a law. You got people teaching that Messiah is not going to hold us to everything. It's not what the book says. But because of the way it's written, it's designed to show what's in their heart. If back here he says, I don't play with these things. And then in the New Testament he says, you know, you're at liberty. As long as you believe on Messiah, it's all good. But does it really say that? Or is that the understanding that we want to have? Let's move forward. I'm not going to keep us late here tonight, so we're probably just going to do chapter 4. But in this reading, on this evening, in this precept, when we're looking at the nature of the Most High himself, to transgress wasn't a slap on the wrist, even to look at something that was holy, to just look at it. It's covered. Let me peek in here. What harm could that do? The Most High says it's going to harm you. I'm going to require your life. That's not something you play with. That's not, you know, unless you just don't love life. Unless you think the Most High is playing. But he's not, he don't play that way. I don't find a way that he actually does play. And so mankind is doing things as though the Elohim that we serve, as though he's weak. I think that's why most Muslims have a problem with Christians and Jews. Because you disrespect Allah, they have a problem. But we don't look at our Elohim the same way. And we disrespect him. But he's saying, I'm not one to be trifled with. So where we get this mentality from, I don't know. I really, really, really don't know where we get this. That's got to be a statement. It has to be. The wicked one, because it's wickedness. But let's move on. Understand that the Elohim you serve and that I serve, he don't play. And so you got to stop counting yourself weak. Because what it's going to end up doing is just getting you what? The lake. Got to be strong in Yah. Okay. Verse 29. And for the sons of Merari, thou shalt number them after their families by the house of their fathers. From 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, shalt thou number them. Everyone that enters into the service to do the work of the tabernacle of the congregation. And this shall be the charge of their burden according to their service in the tabernacle of the congregation. And the boards of the tabernacle, the bars thereof, and the pillars thereof, and the sockets thereof, and the pillars of the court round about, and their sockets and their pins, and their cords, with all their instruments, and with all their service. And by name you shall reckon the instruments of the charge of their burden. This is the service of the families of the son of Merari, according to all their service in the tabernacle of the congregation, under the hand of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. And Moses and Aaron and the chief of the congregation numbered the sons of the Kohites after their families and their house of their fathers, from 30 years old upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that enters into the service for the work in the tabernacle of the congregation. And those that were numbered of them by their families were 2,750. These were they that were numbered of the families of the Kohites, all that might be, do service in the tabernacle of the congregation, which Moses and Aaron did number according to the commandments of Yah by the hand of Moses. And those that were numbered of the sons of Gershon throughout their families and by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old upward even unto 50 years old, everyone that enters into the service for the work in the tabernacle of the congregation, even those were numbered of them throughout their family and of the house of their fathers, were 2,630. And these are they that were numbered of the families of the sons of Gershon, of all that might do service in the tabernacle of the congregation, whom Moses and Aaron did number according to the commandment of Yah. And those that were numbered of the families of the sons of Merari throughout their families by the house of their fathers, from 30 years old and upward, even unto 50 years old, everyone that enters into the service for the work in the tabernacle of the congregation, even those that were numbered of them after their families, were 3,200. These be those that were numbered of the families of the sons of Merari, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the word of Yah, by the hand of Moses. All those that were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron and the chief of Israel numbered after their families and after the house of their fathers, from 30 years old upward unto even 50 years old, everyone that came to do service of the ministry and the service of the burden in the tabernacle of the congregation, even those that were numbered of them, were 8,504. Or 80. According to the commandment of Yah, they were numbered by the hand of Moses, everyone according to his service, according to his burden. Thus were they numbered of him, as Yah commanded Moses. Okay. So we see the family of the Levites. We see them divided up by family and given their separate duties by family. Now remember that all the families of the Levites were given to Aaron and his sons. Literally, they owned them and they assigned them their duties. And one of the sons of Aaron was over each one of these families to assign their duties to them, to oversee them. If you were a Levite, you had to understand your place, what you were responsible for. And you couldn't have it in your heart, well, you know, I really want to work on the Holy of Holy stuff. And you're trying to work your way into that position, and you can't work your way into that position. You had to be born into it. And then if you got froggy, if you got curious, and you wanted to see something you weren't supposed to see, you wanted to touch something you weren't supposed to touch, it was not something taken lightly at all. According to the commandments of the Most High said, whoever does these things, my judgment is, they are to die. That's his judgment. And so he's saying to us as people, you don't want to uphold my judgments. Now, when somebody touched the holy of holy things, the mercy seat or the Ark of the Covenant, which the mercy seat sat on top of, the Most High killed him. He just dropped dead. How is it, and I really want to drive this point home, how is it that we play him weak? I said only Aaron and his sons can touch this Ark of the Covenant. They're the only ones that can pack it away. I don't care what you see going on. You see the Ark on a cart, and you see some oxen drawing it. And you see the cart hit a rock. And you see the Ark of the Covenant about to fall off. You are not one of Aaron and his sons. You know what it is. But you better not touch it. Better let it fall if you want to live. Because the Most High says, I said, don't touch it, and that's what I mean. This is most holy, and if you touch it, I'm not going to wait for somebody to execute sentence on you. I'm going to execute sentence. If I'm present, and you do something out of order, I'm going to execute sentence. I'm not going to have, he didn't tell Moses, hey, go get some men, take these two boys that burnt this strange fire, take them outside the camp, and stone them. No, the Most High himself, fire came out of him and burnt them up right before the people. The Most High executed judgment. When the brother touched the Ark of the Covenant trying to keep it from falling, the Most High say, hey, go get somebody and execute judgment. No, he executed judgment. He killed them. So we got to understand that the Elohim that we serve is not weak, and we better not play him weak. And that's what a lot of people are doing. And because they don't see judgment come right away, they think he's slack. He ain't going to do nothing. Don't that never happen. Most God says, you are in the grace period. But don't think, especially if you're doing this intentionally, don't think that you're going to get away with it. Don't think that you won't be held accountable for it. Let me look up something here, and then we'll close out for this evening. Because I really want us to have a genuine fear of Elohim, a genuine respect, that when we read his word and we know what he will do, that we really take second, third, and fourth thoughts before we do something that will cause us to transgress, that we have that type of fear of him. Give me a hot second here. I don't know where this particular verse is at. Let's go to 2 Peter. The book of 2 Peter. We're going to get chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. Starting in verse 1. The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles, of Yah and our Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of Elohim the heavens were of old, and the earth, standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So people are of this mindset, you know, ain't nothing happened. Ain't nothing gonna happen. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with Yah is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Yah is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. See, we get in this mindset that ain't nothing gonna ever happen, and the Most High, he's not gonna take judgment. He's not going to pronounce judgment. He's never going to do this. But he's not slack concerning his promise. It's not just the promise of eternal life. It's also the promise of what? Judgment. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that they should perish, but that they should come to repentance. But the Most High has set a day. You need to get it right now. But the day of Yah will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hurrying unto the coming of the day of Yah, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heaven and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. He's coming to judge, and everybody that's here, when he comes, it ain't going to be pretty, because he's going to be like, okay, time's up. You thought I was weak. You thought I was slack concerning that if you do these things, that what I said I would do. Now here it comes. But what manner of person should you be? Go back to verse 11, because this is what I want you to consider. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of Elohim? You got to know and fear him. You got to be holy in all your conversation, in all that you do. Because while the Most High is having mercy, and you don't know when his mercy runs out for you, so why would you keep taking a chance with it? because we think he's slack, because we think we got the rest of our life to get it right. Don't take that chance. Don't assume anything. Because this is the attitude of man. But he calls them ungodly. If you're doing that, he calls you ungodly. And we were all more than likely there at one time. But we don't want to be ungodly. We don't want to stay ungodly. We don't want to stay that way. So we have to change. We have to repent. We have to be for real, for real, for real. Let us bow our heads. Father Yah, we come before you, Father, even right now. With fear, Father. With fear. Father, we know that all men fall short. And we can look at our own lives and see where we have fallen short of your glory. But it is your choice whom you will save. It is your choice who you allow to have understanding. It is your choice. We just need to be obedient and make ourselves eligible. You chose yours from the foundation of the world. You chose yours. Help us even now, Father, to walk before you, trembling at your word, being afraid to transgress against you, knowing that nothing good comes to those that transgress, and we don't want to be in that number. You are the Elohim of structure, and you have high standards. And we have to come up to your standards, not you lower yours. But we have to come up to your standards. Father, help us to rise and be your true children, living according to your standards, which you have set. Let us not worry about what the world says. Let us not worry about what our family says. Let us not worry about them saying, you think you holier than thou. Because to shoot for anything less, you shooting for the lake. Be thou holy, for I am holy. You shoot for anything less than that. You're shooting for the lake. You're setting your eyes and you're setting your eyes and your eternity, your goal on the lake. Let us give Yah our best. Our very best. And let us not worry about what men say. Because men ain't going to help you into the kingdom. Men ain't going to save you. That man or that woman is not going to save you. Save yourself. Save yourself by fearing Elohim and keeping his commandments. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name, I pray. Amen and amen. On tomorrow morning, we will continue in this. We will be in Numbers chapter 5. I will try not to, I'll just let the Most High have his way in this. I'll let him have his way. Because this mentality that he wants us to have toward him, this is not by accident. This is not by accident. And I feel very blessed and privileged that he even allows me to see it, to even say it. Because he could have put a different spirit on me, a different mind, and said, hey, you can continue in your foolishness, and the Most High, you got to just say you're sorry, and the Most High will forgive you, and it's all good. That's a lie. It's a lie. So I feel very blessed, because at least I have a chance to get it right. And I pray that each and every one of you are able to hear and understand, and understand the blessing that you have. Because if you can understand it, the only way you can understand it is that the Most High had to give it to you to understand. Everybody can't understand this. Everybody can't hear this. Everybody can't receive this. It's not given to them. But if you're able to, then it's given to you. And if it's been given to you, then that means you're supposed to be not only able to do it, but to be doing it. Because if you, it says, he that knows to do good and doesn't do it, it is sin to him. So if you know that you're supposed to be doing this, if you can hear it and understand it, and you don't do it, just understand it's sin to you. And it's sin at the highest level. Because it means you understand and you choose not to do it. With that being said, as I said, we'll continue in the morning. May the Most High bless you. May he encamp his angels around you. May they keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember, I love you. I really do. You're my brothers and my sisters in the Most High, and it's not an accident that we are here. But I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. Shalom, family. Have a sweet rest.
Just a man. You always said, teach me the way. way. Pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump. Lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptize, get dumped. I'm filled with the Ruach and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you. Cause without you, there's no me. I need a hand. Cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim, his words are perfect. And his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do?
Which 12